All right. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the In the Word podcast with Will and Marie, episode 279. I'm Will, and I'll be joined by my wife, Marie, very shortly. We did another off-site podcast, and it's pre-recorded. So we're going to be sharing that with you here momentarily, and we pray that you enjoy it about God hearing us. And write us. Let us know if you like it. And praise God. Here we go. So, yeah, the thing about prayer is I think sometimes we give up on God prematurely. Things don't happen the way we want them to happen, when we want them to happen, where we want them to happen, how we want them to happen. And so we just, you know, we just toss in the towel and just say, okay, I'm going to quit. I mean, do you understand what I'm saying?
You pointed out something the other day when we were talking about it, and the Lord, I mean, the Word talks about our trials and tribulations and all mm-hmm. of that. And so, yeah, I wonder when you were saying that, I was like, okay, if we're going to have trials and tribulations, then how do we deal with that? You know what I mean?
Right. So the question would be then, how do we differentiate? How do we distinguish between what's a trial, a test, a tribulation, and what is us not trusting God enough or believing God or we're supposed to?
So can we have bouts of times when we do something outside the will of God? And it may be, part of it may be the will of, you know, what God has ordained. And the other part is just something that we did on our own.
So are we asking then, what's chastisement versus what's a test and a tribulation?
Yeah.
Because a test, a trial, and a tribulation, you know, we shouldn't confuse that with chastisement.
Right.
You know,
but how will we know?
How will we know?
Yeah.
Right. God doesn't say, okay, what you're about to go through next week.
Yeah.
It's going to be me punishing you for not, you know, doing something or for a punishment for because you were mean to this person last month. You know, versus what you're going to go through next week is me building you up and strengthening you for a test or for something that you're going to deal with in the future.
Right. Yeah, that's it. Exactly.
Yeah. So I wonder. So Luke 18:8 says, I tell you that he, that's God, will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth?
On earth, yeah.
So when you hear that, what do you think about that?
Well, I think about the faith on earth. It's like, okay, are we going to be so bad? Is this you know, nation, this world going to be so bad that there's nobody trusting God anymore?
Right.
You know, that we have just gotten caught up in the system or whatever. And we're not we're not doing it the way we should have.
Yep.
That's frightening.
That is. And that's exactly the way I look at that. Because when you look at shall he find or will he find faith on the earth, is he talking about saving faith?
Right.
You know, like coming to Jesus?
Yeah.
John 3:16, Acts 2:38. Or is he talking about faithfulness?
Yeah. Is he
talking about faithfulness? Like when he said in Matthew 25:21, the Lord said to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Yeah. Is he talking about that kind of faith?
Wow. So that's some things to ponder for real.
Yeah. Or could it be a little of both? I mean, obviously, to be faithful, you first must be a person of faith.
Right.
You know, you have to have believe at some point and become, you know, a child of God, become a believer,
become saved.
So I guess you got to have faith to become faithful.
Right.
Because faithful means that you're continuing this ongoing steadfast trust.
Right. Yes. Wow. That's a lot
to process,
you know, how could we ever know?
Right.
I mean, do we know? Yeah. Because there would have to be a way where the Lord would tell us maybe in some way.
I wonder. But I can't think of over my life. And maybe I'd have to give it some more thought, think longer or deeper, like, have the Lord, can I ever say that the Lord has said to me as plain as the nose of my right. face, you're getting ready to go through right. something right. because,
ooh, yeah.
you know, usually I connect the dots and say, okay, I haven't been a good boy. This is just punishment or yeah. whatever, or right. this is God, you know, teaching me a lesson, or this is God.
Just trying to make me stronger.
Right,
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
So I guess one thing we could say is that even God's chastisement is a form of
to, yeah,
right,
yeah,
of a yeah. test or a tribulation or a trial to make us better.
Because I was really disheartened when this thing came on me. And I right. was like, all these years I've been healthy and this and that and the other. And then all of a sudden, you know, and I was disturbed. But then I realized, you know what? Read this in the scriptures.
Right.
And there's a lot to show that we're going to be tested and tried.
Right.
So we might
right.
as well just gird up the loins of our mind.
Right.
And be prepared and figure right. out how we're going to walk and stay faithful. And we don't know how long it would last. It could last till we die.
Right. Right.
And
exactly.
so.
Well, Paul's thorn in the flesh did, according yeah. to 2 Corinthians 12. You know that we don't hear or see that there was ever any relief there. Right. Matter of fact, the Lord actually said that, you know, and I know I use that a lot. I probably sound like a broken record on that point, but I just think it's just a classic passage because it really cuts to the chase of what I think a lot of us experience. And that is, you know, like, Lord, like, when is this going to be over?
Right.
You know, he said in chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Mm-hmm. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in wow. reproaches, in necessities. What is that? In persecutions. We know what that is. In distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Although there's a question there, even in verse 10. How much of our suffering?
Yeah.
How much of our tribulation is for Christ's sake?
Right.
Or how much of it is self-inflicted?
Right. Yeah.
You know, we
all
did
all those things you named, it separated some things. So how do we know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, I don't know. How do we know when I'm being reproached or persecuted
right.
because I was standing, you know, for the cause of Christ and when I'm being persecuted and reproached because I was a bad boy, you know, sins, not just sins of commission, but sins of omission.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can sin in more than one. You know, we
right.
always think about the big sins.
Right.
You know,
but what about
the sins of neglect?
Yeah.
You know, the sins of failing to be faithful to Him, trust
yeah.
Him, believe Him, pray to Him, worship Him, praise Him, serve Him, serve others,
yeah.
help others. All those little things, you know, that we
may consider little.
Right. Yeah. You guys, a good point that we may consider little, but God considers them, you know,
yeah.
much greater than that. So yeah,
that's some good things to ponder on.
It's a lot of things to think about, and it's not always to me. It's not always self evident. You know, it's not always obvious.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's probably something. I don't know. I was gonna say it's probably something that we'll never get used to.
Right. Right.
Find a way to keep serving Him and praising God and being faithful in spite
mm-hmm.
of, because when you think of a thorn in the flesh, so that means you could have like something, it's a little pain there, right? And it's
right.
in the flesh.
Right. It was some form. Matter of fact, Paul referred to it as, he said, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger
wow.
of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure.
Wow.
So it seems like Paul was dealing with pride.
Mm.
He was dealing with, you know, maybe a little bit of, you know, I'm all that.
Yeah. Look what God came to me.
Right,
yeah.
right. He didn't
yeah.
just say he got one or two. He said
right.
an abundance of revelation. We're thrilled when God reveals one thing. That, oh my God, what a revelation. I got a revelation, y'all. Listen
praise
to this.
God,
yeah, right, right. And we think we're so deep, especially pastors, ministers,
yeah.
elders, bishops, speakers in general, evangelists
yeah.
that feel like they got a direct direct pipeline to God, and that God reveals things to them that he doesn't reveal to others.
People, yeah.
Right. That's definitely a pastor, minister, right, preacher type right. problem. And we have to really check ourselves there and our egos at the door. But I think Paul could have been suffering from the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just human.
Yeah.
It's
not comfortable. And that's right. why we probably, right. you know, get into a certain mindset because we're not comfortable. We want right. we want all the pain to be gone.
Right.
And we want, you know, the good feelings to be there. And
right.
God's like, you need to grow too.
Right.
You need to get stronger.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And so mentally, physically, so we got to just gird up, like we said,
right.
gird
yeah.
up the loins of our mind and just know that whatever God takes us through,
right.
he's going to take us through.
He's going to, right. Yeah. Oh, I like that.
Yes.
That's a nice play on words. Whatever God's going to take us through, he's going to take us through.
Yes,
sir. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it kind of goes along with the old saying, if God brings you to it, God will bring you through it.
That's right.
So, yeah, I love that. I love that. So he says that. He said that for a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure.
Yeah.
That kind of, you know, makes me think of, you know, that God allowed Satan to go,
mm-hmm.
go in on Job like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Job obviously didn't know it at the time.
Right, right.
You know, he didn't know it in chapter 2, but he knew it in chapter 42, but in the meantime, you know, dude was going through. So it says here in Job 2, so went Satan. I'll just start at verse 6. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So God put conditional access to Job.
Yeah.
So I think we could extract from that God allows conditional access.
Yeah.
By the enemy to us,
yeah.
that but he could only do,
yeah.
yeah, only can do within the confines of what God allows him.
Yeah.
So the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So basically, I guess he's saying you can do everything to him you want, but kill him.
Woo, Lord.
Lord, sometimes you'd rather die, wouldn't you? I think Job actually said that a few times or once. I wish I were dead. I wish I'd never had been born. One of them, I think, would have
somebody said that, huh?
Complained. Yeah, well, I know.
Job.
I'm sure it was Job. I just don't remember the exact wording that he used. But I know he was going through.
But what we can take from that, I think, too, is that it's such a what's a good word for it, that God would even deal with us.
Yeah.
You know, God is just, he loves us. He created us.
He could just throw us to the wall.
He could have.
Right.
But we don't put together pain and suffering and love.
Right. No, we don't connect those.
We don't
two.
Connect those.
Matter of fact, we think just the opposite.
Yes.
If you love me, you wouldn't hurt
I
me.
I would never have any pain.
If you love me, you wouldn't cause me this pain and
yeah.
suffering. So that really, there's just sort of a, the word is not dichotomy, but it's maybe an oxymoron. It's a opposite of, it's like you don't relate pain and suffering with love and kindness.
Right.
You look at love and kindness as being gentle and compassionate and caring, but I guess, you know, if you're a parent and you're trying to help a child, say a child is sick,
right,
and you're trying to help them get well, so you may have to do things like give them medicine. Say a little child, you may have to force the medicine.
Yeah.
If you know, if they broke a bone, you may have to help them keep the cast straight,
right,
or keep their leg
right.
elevated, or
right.
do things during the course of a recovery process that will be uncomfortable.
Right.
Matter of fact, maybe even sometimes painful for
yeah.
a kid. But you know, the only way you're going to get that leg to set right in place so they can walk and run and play with the other kids with that arm or whatever it is that's messed up is that they have to go through.
Yeah.
this unpleasant, uncomfortable process
to
get what's going to be a lot of joy.
Right.
You know?
Right, yes.
The baby would run and play ball and have fun and Jason live your life.
When he had that broken arm.
When he had the broken arm. He was just doing everything he wanted to do, our grandson. But he went through that process, and now you would never know.
Right, exactly.
So I think maybe God, being the ultimate parent, you know, the great parent, mm-hmm. the good parent, the parent of parents would know that this is what we need to make this us better. Because there are dumb things that we do. Yeah. We're hard at it. We're bad kids.
Yeah.
And we need corrective action or we will just destroy ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Even old people like us, people that have been in the church all their lives or most of their lives, still do dumb, stupid things.
No doubt. Yeah.
Mm.
But God is gracious and merciful.
Yeah. So sometimes we need a thorn in the flesh, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there are times when he will give us a bunch of good things, too, when he knows that we can handle it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
He blesses us. Even when we walk out our door, we don't know what's going to happen when we go out that door.
No, we have no idea.
But he does. And so
we have no idea what's waiting for us when we're in our door.
Yeah.
You know, I just read, got a tweet or a text or something from our neighborhood watch that a bullet went through someone's, a stray bullet went through someone's bedroom window the other day.
Yeah, I heard that too. I think I saw that.
And I'm thinking like,
it was a South Euclid?
It was somewhere. Yeah, it might have been. Right. You're not even safe. You could be walking around in your house and a bullet could just come flying through. So but it doesn't take a bullet. You know, God can take us out with an aneurysm or a stroke or a heart attack. Yeah. Or, you know, there's a thousand ways to die, and there's probably even more ways to get sick. But God protects us and blesses us and keeps us until he's ready for us. Yes. Yep. So I just guess our prayer is, Lord, help us to be faithful. So in closing, the question that I put in my notes that I plan to ask, the sobering question. The question is not, will God answer our prayers? The question is, will we still be praying when he does?
Right.
Yeah. You know, will we keep going?
Yeah.
I think that's what he's also referring to. Will God find faith on the earth? Will God find faith when he returns?
Right, and just like with Israel, remember, they go away and come back and they build statues down there and you know, plant them. Dancing,
yeah, yeah. They when the cat's away, the mice will play, so to speak, you know. And, you know, I mean, Moses wasn't even gone that long, 40 days, crying out loud. You know, all that God had done for them, from delivering them from Egypt and crossing the Red Sea and all the other great things, blessing them through the 10 plagues, because I believe they weren't impacted by any of the plagues. And so they saw all of that, you know, ultimate deliverance and protection and miracles. And still in 40 days, they threw it all away for a golden calf.
Mankind.
Yeah, that's us. That's us today. That wasn't just Israel then. That's still us today.
You know, you pray, help us with that. But then you help, you know, you say, I don't want to suffer either.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. We want the best of both worlds, so to speak, and God's.
I'm gonna work on my growth in the Lord, just study more and learn. And
yes,
and just give Him glory because,
right,
in spite of everything, He's still good, and He is, you know, He's been good all of our lives.
All of our lives.
Yeah, He's just
Lord,
great.
You are good.
Yeah.
So Paul says, he writes, quoting the Lord who speaks. To Paul, he said, my grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. So I guess even when we are at our lowest ebb and we're thinking that there's no hope, you know, God is still there.
Yes.
Amen. Mm-hmm.